Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Season 3, where it's time to click both heads in 2021. I'm joined today by a very special guest indeed, coach and content creator, Hoodie Hoo. How we going, man?
Hey, how are you today? I appreciate you having me on.
I'm doing very well. I know it's quite early in your time, quite late in my time, but I'm glad we found a reasonable time to sit down and have a chat today, man.
Yeah, I am too. It's definitely, you know, it's one of those things when you start to get into the internet world, it's kind of eye-opening. You know, thinking about we're literal opposites.
Yeah, so. Legit. It's one of the frustrating things, I guess, having a podcast, trying to arrange times where I guess most of my guests are within Europe or within NA. It's like, okay, yeah. I'm in OCE. How am I going to try and manage this? But we get through it.
That's right.
But yeah, thanks for sitting down today, man. I really appreciate you jumping on. And I guess what we usually do in the start is kind of the entry arc, I like to call it. So I guess, you know, a bit of background about yourself, how you got into the esports scene, how you got into Rocket League, why Rocket League, and we can just kickstart from there.
I love it. All right. So like I warned you before, I'm a little bit long-winded, so I'm gonna go way back, okay? When I was growing up, I actually didn't really play video games much. You know, I'm a little bit older. I'm 28, so I was born in 92. And, you know, as all 90s babies, I'm sure played some Pokemon, right? So. You know, I was familiar with games and I had some gaming consoles growing up, but I didn't have much time for it. I was very, very into traditional sports. I played football, American football. I played soccer. I played basketball. I played baseball. I ran some track in junior high. And all of those things, I played in regular leagues and I also did some traveling as well. So my entire calendar year was, you know, I'm plugged into some sport. So, you know, been a part of teams and competition my entire life, growing up through high school, you know, same thing, stuck with sports and stuff. And decided that whenever I got older, I wanted to continue that, but on the coaching side of things. So, went to college to get a degree in education and, the degree program included a coaching license as well in the state of Arkansas. So, you know, knocked that out. And when I got into college, I did not play sports in college, but I made some friends that were probably a little more of the gamer media, you know, movies and shows and that type of stuff. And they just kind of opened my mind to some things that, you know, I had not really been open to before.
Yeah.
Some new experiences, you know. And one of those things was Rocket League. And, you know, a quick little bit about that. Like I said, I didn't have a console. I didn't play sports for the university, but I played any and every intramural sport that was offered. And so, like I said, didn't have a console. I had two roommates at the time, and both of them were big-time gamers. Well, the place that I was living at was kind of it was our little hangout spot for our buddies. And, you know, we had two or three TVs in the living room, you know, Super Nintendo, or a Nintendo 64, you know, Xbox, all of it, right?
Yeah.
And these suckers, they did not want to spend $20 on Rocket League. They were all hyped about it, but they didn't want to spend the money. So I said, all right, you know what? I don't have a console, but I'll buy it, but I'm going to make my own Xbox account. I'm not going to let one of you scam me out of $20. So I'm at least going to own it. So I go ahead and create my own profile on their account, buy the game, and immediately fall in love. And I think the big reason is because it is so similar to all those traditional sports that I grew up playing, right? You know, some of these other games that are sports simulations or emulations, they are a bit different in the fact that, you know, LeBron James is going to have a different shooting percentage or whatever than a different player, right? And so I know there's still skill involved, but it's just different. You press a button and the player passes for you. In Rocket League, there is no pass button, right? You got to control that car and you got to kick it over there. So I think that was a really big initial hook for me that drew me in. It's just very, very similar to traditional sports. It's a level playing field. You know, everybody is given the same stuff and you just have to execute your plan. So I think that was a big thing that kind of hooked me early on. You know, if we flash back a little bit to my choice to go into education and coaching, I had a couple of educators and coaches that made a really big impact on me outside of the classroom, outside of the game. And that, you know, I'm going to take that with me until the grave, right? Mm. And so those people that just went a little bit above and beyond, and I'm not saying they had to do everything, you know, they didn't have to go crazy, but just the fact that they invested in me a little bit more so than a player, or a little bit more so than just a student that needs to pass this next test, right? You could just tell that they cared. And it just meant a lot to me. And I know, you know, I come from a family that, you know, I was fortunate enough to have my mom and dad, but I know not everyone is like that. And so I know, you know, if these educators had that kind of impact on me, I know there are some other people, some other young men and women that, you know, it would just be very, very impactful in their life to have somebody that genuinely cares about them. And so that's kind of how I got that inspiration to go into a more like a mentor role, whether it's coaching or educating or whatever. And so that's kind of how I got there. Mm. And then we want to go ahead and move into the Rocket League world. So like I said, I got hooked with Rocket League. I loved it. I actually was very deep into the trading scene when I first got into Rocket League. I loved trading. Yes. So big time trader. But I was very deep into the game, very in love with it. You know, I mean, for years, I played the game every single day. And it was just because I wanted to. It was that much fun, you know, learning that progress, conquering these new challenges and these new mechanics that, you know, back when you first start, you're looking at people doing this stuff and you think, holy cow, I could never do that. How are they doing that? I don't even understand. And then you invest time and you continue to work on your craft. And then eventually you're doing those things. And it's just a very rewarding and fun feeling. And so, you know, continue to play the game, play ranked, everything like that. And eventually end up, after I do graduate and get into a full-time position in a public school district, I went ahead and purchased a PC, kind of made that move over. Mm. And that is when I started getting a little bit more into the competitive side of things. I wanted to become the best player I could possibly be. I never really had ambitions of being a professional. Of course, we all wish we could, but I didn't really have ambitions for that. I know my ceiling. I know my limits. And I know my, but I know my strengths too, right? And so I just took this thing that I was passionate about, and I started to do things about teaching it. The school district that I work in was kicking up an esports program, so I helped lift that off the ground.
Wow.
The university that I went to school, where I graduated from, Arkansas State University, I was still living in Jonesboro, and they had kicked up an esports program. They got a nice little esports facility and everything. A sweet setup in there. And I reached out to them and said, hey, I'm still in town. You know, I'm such and such rank. I've been here for a long time. I have coaching experience. I got an education from this university. If you guys want any help or need any help, I would love to be a resource. Mm. And they get back to me immediately and say, hey, we actually don't have a coach, so welcome in. And so, you know, I help with the high school program. I help with the collegiate program. I'm sure many of the people that are listening are familiar with Kevpert. I did some volunteering under one of his teams in his Lights Out organization, gained a tremendous amount of experience and knowledge. That is one of the most intelligent minds in the Rocket League scene. And so those are kind of how I got introduced to coaching. With Gamers Ready, I began volunteering, writing some articles for them. A little bit about a little educational stuff here, just a little bit about approach to the game and how to hold a lead, some stuff like that. And then I just reached out to them and I said, hey, if there's ever any spots, I have a coaching background in traditional sports, an education degree. If you have any spots open, I would love to be considered as a coach on the platform. And I spoke with the two owners and we got it worked out. And so I got on there and things just really took off from there. I kept my stock open. I wanted to, you know, take every single order that I could and get as much experience as possible. Mm. And, you know, with all those experiences kind of leading to this next page, I wanted to become a little more serious about it and see if I could start to climb that ladder to the professional scene. Mm. So I put my feelers out, and one of the players that I knew from the Lights Out organization, Lemon Puppy, he has played in RLCS a long time ago, and he was linked up with another CRL player, Clavin, and they wanted to find a dedicated coach and a dedicated third and give a real shot to the bubble scene. A lot of these teams, they throw together three talented players and they expect great results.
Yep.
But it's not that easy. And you know that better than most.
Mm-hmm.
There's more work that you have to put in. You have to build that environment. You got to get on the same page. Yep. And so they wanted to do that. And I had mad respect for that. And I said, hey, I have not been able to coach a team before. I don't have experience, but what I do have is a background in traditional sports, a background in team environments as both a player and a coach. I have an education doing this. And I said, I would love to just talk to you guys and see what you guys think about my approach and how I think about things and see if I'd be a good fit. And they gave me a chance. They liked it. And so we went from there. We picked up Daru, another very talented young man, and just started playing in weeklies and monthlies and all that good stuff. We ended up getting picked up by RBG for a little while. And then I moved on to another team, all mid. Some very OG names in the scene. Savvy Seal, you know, he's been playing for a very long time. Raw Greg, been playing for a very long time. El Omar Matone, he's been playing for a very long time. Very, very high level players. I was very grateful for the experience. And so, you know, I kind of broke into the more competitive environment, you know, through that stint with those teams right there and learned a lot. You know, I talk about how I have my degree and this and that, and I have some experience, but that's experience in the traditional sports world. And a lot of those things do apply, but I learned a lot through those experiences. I mean, you know, one very obvious, but probably overlooked many times difference is it's remote. We don't have human interaction, you know?
Yeah.
When I'm here coaching a baseball team, and I can see their faces, I can see their body language, I can see their emotion, I can probably tell a little bit better as a coach when they might need that little bit of pick-me-up speech, right?
Yeah.
And you know, those players probably earned their respect a little bit sooner because we are in person. They get to see my body language. They get to see what I'm about.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, and like I said, that's just one very obvious difference, but there are tons of differences between a traditional sport, you know, at the high school level, collegiate level, whatever, and esports. And I think what's really unique about esports is it's so new, right? Like we're all just trying to figure this out. We don't really, as coaches, staff, org staff, you know, tournament organizers, broadcasters, players, we're all just trying to navigate this thing as best we can because it's so new. There's no beaten path for you to take, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
A lot of these people are kind of pioneers. You are the ones beating that path for the next generation to follow. Yeah. So that's kind of my background, how I got into it, and some of the things that I've done in the coaching space of Rocket League.
Hell yeah. There's a lot to dissect from that.
Like I said, I'm long-winded.
Love that, man. No, oh, good. That really just kind of highlights the passion, though, doesn't it? It highlights the passion for the scene, for your coaching as well, and I guess your mindset towards player development and you know, being there to help assist others who might need that help, but you know, maybe can't even reach out to it, or you know, struggle with, you know, multiple different areas, and really just understanding where you can kind of fit in with that environment, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Love that, man, for sure. And I guess taking a step back, when you first got into the Rocket League scene, did you ever imagine you would be ending up where you are today?
Oh, no. No, 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 not at all. you know, when I first got into it, I had no intentions of content creation, none at all. It's so funny because I can remember thinking like this. There are, you know, there are strategy and tactic videos for traditional sports. And nine times out of 10, when you find those on YouTube, there's no frills. There's no comedic value. It's straight information. This is it. Quick clip. Here's what it is. There's no entertainment value whatsoever. And I remember saying to myself, I'm modeling myself after that. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm not here to make you laugh. I'm here to help you learn. And obviously that has changed as I, you know, I've gone through this. I've learned not only some of the better ways to deliver information as a coach and stuff, but also if I want to make this work, because I did leave my career to do Rocket League, whether it's content or coaching and all together or whatever, if I want to make this work, I can't lock myself in a box. I've got to be open to new ideas. I've got to be open to new strategies and stuff. And so You know, that approach kind of changed, but definitely no intention of being where I am today. When it started, the first videos that I made were for these high school students that I was helping. You know, I was talking about lifting that off the ground. Hey, these guys are still rocking Camera Shake. Like they just picked up the game. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to kind of give them basically a simple progression guide of like, hey, when you're in bronze, you don't have to worry about flip resets, right? You can worry about some drifting. You can worry about, you know, good control of the car when you get knocked in the air and trying to land on those wheels, you know, just some basic stuff. And then kind of outline, hey, at silver, we're going to focus on some of these things. At gold, and as we go up the ladder, just to give those guys kind of an idea. And like I said, I had no intention of like making you laugh. I wanted to deliver the information and that was it. And so to answer the question, absolutely not. But I think most people doing whatever they're doing in life would probably have a similar answer, right? Like they did not imagine themselves there, but life is funny and it just kind of turns out that way. You end up pursuing what you love and you may end up pivoting or turning this way, but it takes you where you need to be, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can really resonate with that because I guess, you know, I have always been to esports, you know, pretty much most of my life. And, you know, if you were to tell me, I guess, even last year that I would be working with the Renegades, you know, a North American OCU-based organization, I'd tell you, you're mad. But it's always about having that optimism to just drive and I guess believe in your craft, where you've been, what you're doing now, and what's inevitable for the future as well.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
For sure, man. And, you know, you mentioned it briefly then just before, I guess where each player is at a different stage. For example, you know, a bronze player is very different to a champ player. Now, I guess with your coaching, do you go into each coaching session with a pre-planned mental template of, okay, this person's in this rank, they need to know these things, this person's in that rank, this is what they should be working on, this is what we should be progressing towards? Or what's that kind of mindset look like?
That's an awesome question. So, what I do in the Gamers Ready space is I have a little document template that I shoot out to these people whenever they order a session. And I just basically want to hear what they feel about themselves. So I ask them, what are three strengths, three weaknesses? What are some goals that you may have?
Yeah.
And so I just want to get a feel for where they're at mentally regarding themselves, because I know many times, and you have both extremes, you have players that think very poorly of themselves, right? They're very self-critical. They think they're not good enough. But on the flip side of that, we've also got some players that are a little bit overconfident, right? They think it's never their fault. Yeah. It's always someone else's. The game's messed up, blah, blah, blah. So it kind of gives me an idea of what I'm walking into. It also gives me an idea of what they're confident about and what they may need to work on. And so I also obviously know what rank they are. And so I think there are kind of some general expectations of mechanical ability at certain ranks and even strategic, you know, decision-making and everything. But one thing that I have learned is I need to be more open because there is a wide variety. You know, some of these players, they have just sat in, they have sat in free play and they can do, you know, a musty off the wall double tap and they're in platinum. Right. And so, you know, you think, well, dude, you've got this incredible foundation of mechanics to work on. Now, if you just apply a little bit of that knowledge to your game, you're going to soar through the ranks ladder. I, you know, a quick anecdote here. I had a player that I met with and I'm 5 minutes in and I'm watching him move around the field and he's talking about he's stuck at champ one, champ two. And I said, man, I seriously am not trying to be rude at all, but I don't understand how you're stuck. Like, this is like, you're way better than I am. I don't understand this. And he goes on to tell me, okay, he's got 1,200 hours in the game. The first 1,000, he did not queue up. He sat in free play. He trained for 1,000 hours. And I was like, well, no wonder. Look at this. You know, you're so, it's so impressive. And so, you know, all these different players, they approach the game in different ways. And some of them have situations where they may not have internet, right? I know there's that story about Squishy where he didn't have some internet and he was grinding in free play. And so they all approach the game differently. And just because we're in platinum doesn't mean we need to work on X, Y, and Z. Now, you can say the majority of platinums, you know, need these things, but not all of them. And so I like to be open. And another thing that I've kind of grown to learn as I go through more of these sessions, I was very much one of the coaches that was like, stop being flashy. Stop trying advanced mechanics. Stop doing that. You don't need it. You're not there yet. But if that's how they want to play, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with playing the game in that manner, as long as you understand that may not be the best way to rank up.
Yeah.
As long as you understand that may be a more risky play style. Mm-hmm. If you are acquainted and comfortable with that and you still choose to do that, more power to you, right?
Yep.
There's no wrong way to game. If you want to play Rocket League in a manner that's high risk, high reward, hey, knock yourself out. There ain't nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But my problem, and I defaulted to this, and this is why I say I've kind of changed my approach. My problem was always players get frustrated and blame any and everything but themselves when they're taking some of those silly risks like that. And so it's just, you know, as I help players learn, I am learning, right? That's one thing that I've always been very, very adamant about. Even when I was in the education system for 3 years and I'm working with, you know, first through sixth grade or 5-year-olds to 12-year-olds, hey, I'm taking lessons from them. I know they don't know it and I know they don't intend it, but I'm taking lessons from them. Those little guys, I tell you what, hey, they'll be squaring up in a fist fight, okay? And I'm walking them to the office and they're already laughing it off. They're already over it. And, you know, there's little things that we can take from anybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I try to do is as I go, I want to learn, I want to grow, I want to become better because I don't think we're ever finished as a player, as a coach, as a human, right? Mm. I think we can always continue to move forwards.
Yeah. I mean, growth is inevitable, right? Whether it be, you know, mechanical growth, mindset growth, there's always something that we can work towards. And I think that within itself, you know, really does resemble some sort of significance, I think.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, man. But yeah, love that, man. That's awesome. And I guess another kind of interesting kind of angle that I want to pivot that towards is, I guess when you looked, because I've chatted with, you know, League of Legends coaches, Valorant coaches, but not too many Rocket League coaches. So I guess when you started coaching, did you kind of acknowledge, okay, I want to have this sort of specific coaching style, but now that you've kind of shifted towards a different kind of coaching style? You know, and what I mean by that is, like, say, for example, I chatted with Kaplan, who's a Valorant coach for Ghost Gaming, and we chatted about different styles of coaching, whether it be democratic styles, where you give the players a little bit more free play and I guess they can kind of decide their own manner, or whether it be a little bit more authoritarian, where it's like, okay, you must do this. That's what I, you know, that's the way to do it. And it's kind of understanding, okay, where does my style fit into that? Or is it a blend? Yeah.
So I love this question because this is going to, we're going to jump back a little bit to what I said earlier, how it's very different from traditional sports. And this is something that I've talked about with some of these players. You know, there are first and foremost, these are 15 to 24 year olds. They're younger. And so that is, you know, that's one complex. The second complex is in this esports space, especially in the space that I've been involved where I'm not at the very, very tip top. And I'll say even at the tip top, at the professional level, those players still hold most of the power, right? If they didn't want that coach as a coach, that coach is probably gone. So, you know, there's that aspect of it. Hey, my eighth grade baseball team, they're going to do what I say, period. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's different. It's a different complex. And these esports teams, it's not like that. Now, what I'll say is, I think even if I was coaching at the high school level, I'm definitely going to have more of a collaborative effort. You know, I would like to guide the players, give them this information and tell them what I think and why I think that, explain it to them and let them understand, but kind of guide them towards the answers that I want them to find, right? Rather than just tell them, this is it, period. You're doing this. And I think that's just I think that's just my approach. I know there are different approaches. I don't think there's a better or worse style. It's just, you got to do what works for your personality and your character.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, winning that respect, earning that respect from players, and then having them want to do what I want them to do, right? Not feel like they have to, but they want to do what I want them to do. And I think that's a big thing for me, especially in this esports space, because they don't have to listen to me. I mean, that's the bottom line. They just don't have to, right? And so I think, you know, you want to talk about authoritarian or democratic or whatever, or collaborative. I'm definitely more of the team oriented, like we're all going to talk about it. And I think,
love that.
I think, at least for me, that's been very, very helpful. And I think for the team environment, it's been very helpful. You know, one of the things that a lot of these younger players struggle with is just communication about like the negative side of things. It's easy to communicate. I love when you do that, man. You hit that, you know, whatever, this play, looking for passes. That's easy to communicate. It's hard to communicate what you don't like about certain things.
Yeah.
And it's hard to receive that too. And so I think, you know, creating that environment where, you know, I'm giving my feedback, but I need to hear you guys' feedback about each other, about me, about our team, about our performance, about our mental state. You know, I think it's one of those things that in the esports space where I'm not guaranteed my coaching spot. And those players, they know too, they're not guaranteed their player spot. They could be kicked at any moment, right? It's very important, I think, to have everybody on the same page, everybody communicating, and everybody hearing each other's ideas and thoughts and feelings, because if you're not hearing it, you're going to be bottling it up. It's probably going to start feeling more severe, whether it's frustration or whatever the case may be. So I definitely take a more collaborative approach to things. And I really want these players to be open with one another. I think that is a really big struggle in the esports space. And it's a tough one. I understand why it's a struggle, but that's why I strive to try to make it an environment where we can overcome that.
For sure. No, I 100% definitely agree. I think fostering a positive team environment really helps to establish that same level baseline mentality, right? Because if you're able to establish, I guess what I like to call it with the Renegades boys is we're all on the same wavelength. We can change the volume. We can go high. We can go over aroused. We can dip down depending on who we're versing. We can, you know, have a bit of fun. But as long as we're all on that same wavelength, we're all across that with the same mentality, then we're going to be all right.
That's right.
And it's about being able to acknowledge that change and acknowledge that, you know, some things might not always go our way. That's okay. Some things might always go our way. Awesome. Let's keep on doing that. But, you know, what can go wrong? Acknowledging that something can go wrong at any time is okay as well. But I definitely agree with that kind of positive team environment, because I think, you know, a lot of teams, and I've spoken with tons of players in the past, and, you know, even for example, if I recall a player saying that, you know, they brought a new coach on and the coach said, okay, I don't want you to comm at all, like no comms. And he's like, well, we always comm. And he's like, yep, I don't want you to comm. And that was something that was really hindering to that team environment that was already developed, because it's like, okay, we're so accustomed to doing one thing. Now we're doing something else. And it's like, well, it doesn't work. That's not the team flow. We're not on the same wavelength, right?
Yep.
And then, for example, another coach made everyone talk like robots. So, yes, here, right there.
Oh, okay.
And that was something really that the players weren't used to as well. So I think it's important within that coaching role. And I like the fact that you touched on, you know, players, coaches can be swapped out in any minute, because that's the reality, right? It's the fact that there's so many players. You think of an esports team, right, with 3 or 5 players. You compare that to a traditional sports team with 20 players, with 25 players. There's so much more room there. On an esports team, you've got 3 players. You know, that's not a lot to make the cut.
That's right. That's right. It's very volatile at the moment. Very volatile.
For sure. I love that. Now, I guess one thing I also wanted to touch on is, I guess, how do you differentiate, I guess, one-on-one coaching versus team coaching? So is it more so one-on-one, you know, really starting to build rapport with that self-individual versus within the team environment, you know, establishing that kind of connection with everyone, or, you know, how does that differentiate?
You know, those are two very different situations, but I think even more important is how much time do I have with them? A lot of these one-on-one sessions are limited to 1 hour. I've got 60 minutes. And humbly, I do think that's something that I do a good job of is the social aspect. You know, I always say this, you can be the smartest coach on planet Earth. You can have the most knowledge of every human ever, but if you can't deliver it in a manner that is going to make them feel comfortable, it don't matter. It just doesn't matter. If you're going to make them feel small, if you're going to make them feel insignificant, if you're going to make them feel like they have failed, they're probably not going to receive what you're saying very well. They're probably not going to want to implement it, right? So, coaching is definitely educating. Coaching is definitely exposing them to new ideas, but you have to do it in a manner that they are open to accept. And every person is different. So the one-on-one is definitely going to be I don't know that I would say build rapport, but kind of just understanding how to deliver to each individual. You know, some people, yeah, you get in there and within 5 minutes, they're very talkative and you understand, okay, they're going to bounce things back. I can ask them questions, this and that. You get some people that don't want to say a single word, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I understand that. If they need me to fill up all the airspace, I can do so. And so it's just kind of, I would say more being adaptable in the 1v1 or excuse me, one-to-one space. In a team environment, again, I think the time that I have is important. If it's only an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever, you know, I've got less time to get a feel for those guys. And so it is going to be more of, you know, watching and evaluating and giving my feedback rather than hearing what everybody has to say. But when I have a team that I'm working with, it is definitely going to be a long run investment. It is definitely going to be something where, you know, I promote the environment that I want. I promote, you know, the chemistry that I want. And the nitty gritty, you know, deciding how we want to approach each game, how we want each player to approach, you know, the game individually, that comes a little bit later through that collaborative effort, because I've created that environment where, hey, we're all comfortable. We all know we are bought in with one another. We all know it's a safe place for us to say whatever we need to say. And then we can all come together hearing everybody's ideas and hearing everyone's thoughts. And then we can go forward with, like you said, on that same wavelength, how we want to play. If that's full speed in your face, you know, that's fine. I don't have a strict, rigid way that I think Rocket League should be played. Rocket League is so unique, man. It's one of those things that it's so simple. It really is so simple. And I'm not saying there's no strategy to it. I'm not saying that teams don't have their style, but it's a simple game. You know, we don't have different metas that shift and a new character that comes in and changes the whole game up. You know what I mean? It's not like that. It's a lot more about execution. And it's, in my opinion, almost completely about that mentality. It's all about,
for sure,
you know, like you said, it's not always going to go well. BDS, right? They absolutely dominate all season. And when it comes down to it, they couldn't make it happen. It's all about that mental. And it's tough. It's tough. You're fighting a lot of fights or fighting a lot of different battles as a player. You're fighting the remote battle. You're fighting that anxiety battle of, is my team going to kick me if I don't perform? You're fighting that battle of, you're a professional player and you're 16 years old and people all over Twitter and Reddit thrashing you when you mess up. So, you know, these guys have a tough time. Yeah. And that's, you know, again, we flash back again. That's why I think it's so important to create that environment where we all talk, we're all on the same page. We're in this together. We're in this together.
For sure. Love that, man. 100%. I think being able to establish that environment, is one of the most key things to creating that perfect environment, whether that be a one-on-one coaching style, or that be in a team environment with where you have 5 to 15 people. You know, there's a lot of similarities. And I think another kind of thing that I really want to get your kind of understanding is, and it's big for a lot of players, it's very individualized, is this whole idea of feedback. Now, of course, a lot of players love feedback when it's like, okay, you got to do this. You shouldn't have done that. Why are you doing this? And also feedback can be different if it's one-on-one in a team setting as well, right? Because, you know, a lot of players might not want to be, for lack of a better term, I guess, you know, called out in front of the team. If they missed a goal, it's like, you should have hit that. Why didn't you hit that? A lot of players might want that one-on-one environment where it's like, okay, you know, you missed that goal. That's all right. So I guess feedback's a very interesting one. I just wanted to kind of get your opinion on it.
Yeah. When I am coaching a team, I think it's important to have both. I think you do need to have those team settings where, you know, we can all give feedback and we can all share our ideas together. But I do think it's important to have those one-on-one. And, you know, something that I do is when I have these one-on-ones, I want these players to speak unfiltered. I want them to speak to me completely and totally honest. You're not going to badmouth, you know, we're not going to say that, but I want you to be honest with me.
Yeah.
Because when I go to these other places, now I can use some of that information in my coaching over here. The feedback thing, I think it goes back to what I was saying about being adaptable. Different players, different teams, they're all going to have different personalities and it's going to change. I don't think there's one singular way to do things. But I do think for me, it's always been important to have both a team setting and a one-on-one setting. You know, I told the players that I want them to be honest, but I can also be a little more blunt and honest as well, because like you said, it doesn't, there's no shame involved. It's just me and you, and we're just chit chatting. And so, I totally agree. I think both are important, in that feedback area, in that feedback aspect.
For sure. Love that. 100%. One thing I like to do often is provide players, or I guess if it's in a team setting, it's this whole idea of a feedback sandwich. So it's one thing you did right, one thing that you did wrong, and then one thing you did right. So the focus isn't on the negative, but it's reinforcing the positive. Yes. And I guess once you get players to do that to other players, you establish this kind of joint feedback style where it's like, it's okay to give feedback because you're reinforcing it with something they did right. So I think that's something that's really worked in the past that I continue to do with the boys, which is awesome. But again, you know, a lot of coaches, a lot of individuals have their own sort of different feedback. And you know, at the end of the day, it is very individualized, for sure.
That's right. That's right. I love that feedback sandwich. I'm going to steal that from you.
No worries. You got that permission. Now, one thing that I want to also get your mindset on, more so in regards to mechanics, there's been this debate, and I guess I chatted with MK about it as well, is this whole idea of, you know, going into the scene, you know, being more of a ones main player versus a threes main player. And obviously in ones, you can develop so much more of that individualized mechanic. But if you predominantly stay a ones character, you miss out on that team functionality of, you know, understanding different rotations and understanding different areas. So I guess entry level and I guess getting into Rocket League, is it better to start in ones or is it better to start in threes, do you think?
So I love these questions. But the first thing that we need to do is define the person that I'm answering this for. So if it's a new player that is asking me, you know, what's the best way to improve? I say, okay, what is your goal? Are you looking to become pro? Are you are you really that into it? Are you willing to put 4 hours every day, 4+ hours every day into this craft? Okay, then maybe you should take this approach. Or is it something where it's like, well, you know, I'm going to play when I get some time and, you know, I mostly want to play ranked because it's fun. I don't really want to do a lot of training. Yeah. Okay, well, that's a little bit different, right? So, you know, I think if you're more of the diehard, we're going to go pro, I think, and I'm a 1v1 hater as an individual. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. But I think it's undoubtedly one of the best ways to improve. Just on a base level, you get more reps. You don't have to share reps with another player or two other players, right? Every time you shadow defend, it's you. Every time you flick, it's you. So you just get more reps. On a base level, you're going to get more repetitions in 1v1s. But there are so many fantastic skills that you learn in that game mode about challenging, when to challenge, reading that opponent, understanding what's threatening, what's not, what's dangerous, how much leeway do you have? How far away can you extend from things, right? You just learn so much about the game. And I think it is, for players that are going professional, I think that is the way to go. And I think we can see that happen. How many of these young guns that aren't 15 yet that are mechanical wizards are just 1v1 warriors, right? You know, you got your Daniel, your Drolly. I mean, Evo, Wiz, there's tons of these young guns that are just insane in the 1v1 leaderboard because, for them, the 3v3 investment don't really make sense right now. They can't do it. Yeah. So you're absolutely right. You miss out on some team environment stuff. You miss out on some rotation stuff. But that stuff is, you can learn that. And you can apply that in the, you know, you can apply that to your mechanical ability and the stuff that you've learned from the 1v1 scene. I'm not saying it's super easy, and a lot of players are not going to play 1v1s at all, and that's fine. But I do think that the 1v1 game mode can teach you a tremendous amount and can help you a tremendous amount mechanically. And so 1v1s, I despise them. I hate them, but I do think they are a fantastic way to improve. That may be why I'm so slow to improve. I don't do things very well.
For sure. And it's very similar because when I had apparently Jack on, he pretty much said the exact same thing. You know, ones is where you get more ball time. It's where you get more control and you understand space. You understand when to challenge, not to challenge, all those things that you just touched on. It's completely Girot. And you can eventually learn, I guess, when you integrate into a team culture, into the threes kind of pattern, all the external things that kind of come along with playing in threes.
That's right. That's right.
For sure. Definitely. Now, I guess another big one that not a lot of players want to do, in the past I've had players that I've coached that are kind of scared to do it, and it's this whole idea of replay analysis. Mm-hmm. Obviously, watching over replays is, you know, in my eyes, massive because it allows you to have a different perspective of the court. You don't just see your perspective. You see someone else's, and then you can pick up mistakes that you didn't even realize you were doing. So I guess, you know, from a pure actual gameplay perspective, you know, how much replay analysis should players be doing?
Again, just like the previous question, I think the first thing we need to do is define what is your goal, right? But for the players that are more serious, you know, I've never thought about like breaking down time, like how much you should spend doing this. But I think you could argue between 30 to 50% of your time invested into Rocket League, you know, of your available Rocket League hours. If you're really wanting to improve, you know, we touched on reps, right? We touched on getting those reps in games.
Yeah.
Okay. Replays are just mental reps. When you need to learn an air dribble, right? And you do it in game and you make a mistake. What do? We go into training and we get repetitions. We get repetitions taking it up the wall. We get repetitions bringing it off, air rolling, getting that launch, blah, blah, blah. We break it down into an environment where I can focus on one thing and I can do it and do it over and over and over and over, right? Run through that.
Yeah.
What does a replay do? You take a situation that you had in game and you get to slow down, focus on one situation, and you get to run through that in your mind, of course, like a hypothetical, but you get to run through that situation and you can see, okay, if I do this, these things are going to happen. If I do this, these things are going to happen. And now I know that you didn't do that. You didn't perform those actions in game, but you have gone through that. You've got, you know, you have, in my opinion, you have gone through a repetition.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's just the way I think about replays and just evaluating and reflecting on yourself. It's a mental rep. It's a rep where you go into that situation and you think about what are the few different things that could have, you know, could have occurred or what I could have done. And I think, you know, what's really important is looking at, I think one thing that, especially on the lower level side of things, players don't understand is they look at the backflip and they think that was the mistake. But really we need to, right? We need to back it up 5, 10, 15, 20 seconds and think, how did I get here? Right? Why am I in this situation where I'm so mechanically stressed that I end up backflipping? And so again, at the higher level, I think a lot of players understand that. We kind of look at what led up to the mistake or the, you know, the miscue or whatever it was. But that, you know, it's that rep. We look at it, we understand, okay, now when I'm in that boat, when I'm in that situation, when I got these things, you know, this specific context, now I've been through that rep and I may make a better decision this next time.
For sure. Definitely. And I think it's very interesting to draw comparisons to, I guess, traditional sports where a lot of players do the exact same thing, right? You know, for example, I worked in rugby for a little while and, you know, even some of those players were, you know, going through, okay, I passed the ball here. I was making this run. And, you know, they value replay analysis so much, you know, tremendously, right?
Yes.
And it's interesting because, you know, a traditional sports athlete doesn't have replay analysis available to them right here, right now. I can just load up a replay. I can't do that. I've got to go to a computer. I've got to load it up. I've got to get the film from the other coach and then sit down, or I've got to book in a session. But I guess the value and the importance of esports is, okay, that wasn't a good game. Bang, straight onto the replay. Within seconds, you can go back in, you can review what you did wrong, and it's that instant education that you learn. Okay, I did this wrong, I did that wrong. They did something that I didn't actually see they were doing. It's that information, and I think that instant information gives you that kind of step up.
Yeah, I love that you brought up kind of the difference too, because that is something that esports has some challenges when you compare it to traditional sports, but there's also some pros too, and that's you know, that's one that you just mentioned. There are some tools that we have that that those guys don't have available. And I do want to just a quick little story. So it's so funny because this is something that I always, you know, when I tell these players, I talk about how important replays are. When I was young and I was American football, this coach that I talked about earlier that kind of inspired me to do the coaching thing, he was my coach and I was a receiver. And so he was on me telling me in running plays where they're not passing to me, I'm not running a route. Mm-hmm. In running plays, I was slacking off. Mm. I was not going to block like I should, right? Mm-hmm. And most, you know, 90% of the time, the play is going to happen at the line of scrimmage or linebackers. It's not going to make it to cornerbacks, right? So I'm going to be fine if I don't go.
Yeah.
But there is going to be that one play where the person that I'm supposed to block ends up making a tackle, right? And I said, Coach, I didn't do that. I'm always blocking. I'm always doing that. And then he shows me on the replay, right? It's just one of those moments where it clicks. You're like, I am guilty of X, Y, or Z. I do. You know, for a lot of us, we sit, and I know that I stream, and so I sit there and complain, my teammate did this. But I guarantee I go back and look, and that's going to be me doing the same thing. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
the replays, like you said, super, super important.
Yeah, for sure. I love that story, man. That's awesome. It's I think we all have that kind of similar you know, moment where we just catch ourselves in, hang on, I'm the victim here.
That's
back
right.
It up. It's all right. My teammates can get that rest for a second. I yeah. love that. I guess another thing that I wanted to touch on, and it's something that I haven't had too much of a discussion with on MindClick, is this whole idea of a placebo. Mm. Now, you know, one of my players is actually going through this at the moment, so I hope he's listening in. But I'd love to get your opinion on it. And I guess what I mean by placebo is everything has to be the same. Has to be the same decal, has to be the same car, has to be the same banner, has to be the same music track. Everything has to be the same.
I love it. Okay, so in the traditional sports world, there are tons of these, what are they called? Like these just like habitual things that if they don't do it, they feel like they have made, dude, and some of it's like fans, and they like wear the same socks without washing.
Wearing
for the
same
whole
t-shirt.
You're just
the
like,
same food.
Oh, dude, come on. That's not. Yep. So, yep. You know, the thing is, I have never really bought into, oh man, the word almost popped into my head. What is the word? I can't remember. Anyways, it'll pop up later. Maybe. I was never really into those.
Okay.
You know, I didn't really buy in. I just kind of did my thing. Whatever. Yep. But I know some people, I mean, the fact of the matter is it's real for them, you know, if you believe it, it is real.
Exactly.
And that works for good and for bad at times. So,
yep.
You know, I think, you know, as with anything, it's just one of those things that you have to manage. You have to kind of understand, as a player and not let it dictate too much. Right. I would say try not to let it get out of control. But you know, there are certain cars that I feel faster with in Rocket League.
Yeah. Right?
There are certain boosts that feel very slow. And so, hey, you know, you got to do what feels good for you.
Yeah.
But I do think you want to try to keep a lid on it and not, you know, not let it get absolutely out of control and dictate too much.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Definitely. And kind of just to touch on that kind of habitual, you know, doing the same thing before a game. I remember back when I was, very heavy into Taekwondo. So I'm a black belt Taekwondo. I used to do Taekwondo quite a lot. And one of my teammates used to have this habitual thing of before every match, he used to go out into the sun, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just relax in the sun, do a little bit of meditation, breath training and everything, right? And he did that for every tournament. Now, all of a sudden, one of the tournaments was at nighttime.
Oh, no. Okay.
What am I going to do? And what did he do? He flunked, man. Couldn't perform.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes it's okay, but then sometimes you can have those very things that, you know, you can't control. And I think if you are doing something that's kind of habitual to yourself, it should very much be something that you are always in control of.
Yeah.
But I think it is important to have that kind of special aspect because, you know, I know a couple of players who have won, like, you know, for a major, for example, and they want to continue having that badge on or that title on. And it's like, that just means something to them. And it's like, if they change that, it's, I'm not going to play as well as I did in the major, maybe. And it's like, okay, that's all right. No stress. But there are different things that I guess, you know, sometimes do get a little bit out of hand.
Absolutely. That's right. Like, and I think you nailed it. You know, if it's in your control, you know, you're probably okay. By the way, I figured out the word superstition.
Superstition.
That's what it is.
Love that. Yeah, there's a lot of people who have that kind of mindset for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
Another thing that I was actually a viewer listener, they're the same things because we have the video podcast as well. And it was this whole idea of ranked anxiety. Mm-hmm. And this is in every game, right? This is in League of Legends, StarCraft, Overwatch, whatever it is. This whole idea of you can't press play, you can't go into the game because my MMR is going to decrease. My opponents could say nice shot or nice save or what a save, or, you know, they could say anything. Yeah. And it's like, I don't want to dip down to that because I'm feeling good. You know, I've had a win streak. Yep. I don't want to queue in case I lose. So I guess, how do we go above this ranked anxiety and just, you know, just queue and just have fun?
Yeah. You know, I think one thing that's really important, and this, I think we can go a little bit even broader than ranked anxiety and just say kind of performance anxiety, because it, I mean, it's true in all kinds of aspects of life, right?
Yeah.
But exactly. I think a really important aspect or a really important way, something that's very important that can help you, is how you frame it. Before you ever get into ranked and worrying about it, how do you frame it in your mind? And if you frame it as ranked is a video game that I log onto on my computer, you know, I can change my game. I can just leave the computer. You know, I've got this whole other life that's happening. You know, maybe I have children or a spouse, or maybe I have other hobbies or whatever. And just kind of understand that ranked is a tiny part of your life.
Yeah.
And it definitely does not define you as a person. And in my opinion, even as a player, right? Mm-hmm. We go through good and bad swings, and sometimes things go really well and sometimes they don't. I think it's also important to just kind of understand the natural line of progression, whether it is earning money, whether it is maturity, whether it is physical fitness, whether it is studying for a test. We don't do this, right? We have our ups and downs. It is not a straight line. It is not always up. Things, we have dips. We have bad days. We have times where we don't perform. We didn't get enough sleep. Didn't get enough water. Whatever it may be, we are going through something in real life. Lost a family member. Lost a, you know, a partner, a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. And so I think one thing that I always preach is just be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself. We are so, so, so hard on ourselves. And I know everyone is. We are, I mean, really, we are just savages, if I'm just straight on. You know, the things that we say about ourselves and the things that we think about ourselves, we would never think that about someone we care and love about, or care about and love, right? We would never say those things. We would never, you know, if my friend is going through a downtime, and I'm, you know, I'm not giving them a hard time. I'm genuinely, I would tell them, look, hey, you're going to, you know, you'll tough it out. You'll pull out of it in a week or two. Just keep grinding, keep doing your thing. But we don't say that to ourselves. We talk about how we're awful, and I never deserved a diamond anyways. You know, we're just, we are so, so self-critical. We need to be kind to ourselves. And so I think just one, how you frame it, you know, understanding that ranked is important. I'm not saying it's not important. And if you watch me play, I get all kind of rage. Okay. I am competitive. I like to win. Okay. I know it's important, but I also am in the frame of mind that I can leave that alone. Right. That is not an end all be all. If I, you know, if I dip down 2, 3, 4 ranks, tough times, right? It'll make getting back to that spot where I was previously, it'll make it a little bit sweeter.
For sure. Love that, man. And I really appreciate that, because I think that a lot of people listening definitely go through that. There's so many players that hold themselves self-critical, whether it be having this kind of self-expectancy to be a higher rank, to already be better. They look at their hours. They've already invested 2,000 hours, and it's like, well, I should be better. This other person's got 1,000 hours, and he's higher than me. He plays better than me. He's not stressed about the game like I am. So why is it happening? And I think it's just important to just realize that it's okay. It's all right. You know, at the end of the day, it's a very minimal thing, like you said, that goes on within our lives. And it's important to frame it like that, because I think if you frame it like that, you can overcome it like that. So I really appreciate that, man. I really do.
Absolutely.
Love that. Now, I guess before we start to wrap up, I really wanted to get your idea and mindset in regards to streaming. It's one of these ones that I guess it's an interesting area, because there are some pros who like streaming, like the idea of content creation, or even just players in general. But there are some that don't. And it's like, okay, I'm scared if someone's toxic to me. I'm scared if someone jumps in my chat, for example, and starts flaming me. But I think it's important to kind of have that mindset that, you know, yeah, that might happen. That's inevitable. Okay. But you can kind of just shrug that off. But I'd like to see what your mindset is. And I guess when you started streaming, how did you find it?
Yeah. So what I'll do really quickly is I'll kind of talk about the first part of that, where you're asking about professionals and what I, you know, I guess just my suggestion to them, or however we want to say it. And then I'll kind of flash back to me and my streaming stuff. You know, I think, again, I've said this a couple times, I think number one is to understand what their goal is. Some of these professional players, they want to play while they can, and then they're going to go do something else, right? Yep. They don't care to do gaming, esports type stuff for the rest of their life. Some do. Some want to make this a lifelong career. Mm-hmm. If you are that player and you want to do gaming, you cannot rely on professional play only. You just can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that comes first. I know that should be a priority. That's the thing that you're passionate about. And hey, you know, do it that way. But you have got to branch out, and you have got to diversify a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we look at some of these people that have done a good job of it. Rizzo, Squishy, Lethemir. You know, I mean, we look at some of these faces that are a little bit newer to the content creation side of things. Appjack, you know, and he's killing it over there. Arsenal, who literally blew up in 3 or 4 months because he's got a fun personality.
Yeah.
These guys, if they want things to work long term, where they get to do gaming and content for a living, which I think is an absolute blessing and a treat, it's not going to be easy. And you have to kind of work a little bit harder. And so I think they need to understand that if that's what they want to pursue. If they're cool with gaming and playing professionally, and then when their time is up, they move forward to something else, that's totally fine. You know, we are all in different walks of life and have different passions and dreams and everything. And so there's no right or wrong way. I don't think that every single pro needs to create content. But every pro that wants to make gaming a career, yes, they need to create content. And man, they have worked their tail off to become as good as they are, right?
Yep.
Reap the benefits of it. Reap the benefits of it. You have worked so hard, and there are so many people around planet Earth that you could turn your mic off. You could not be, you don't have to do anything personality wise, and people want to see you play. You are that impressive. Okay. And so I just highly encourage those people. If you don't like to be live, don't stream. YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. Grow that brand. Grow that brand. If you are open to streaming and you do have confidence in your personality, do it. I'm saying don't wait for the right moment. Don't wait till you get a good setup. Don't wait till you get your mic and this and that. Just do it. Because I think, and now this is my personal thoughts on it. And I'm not very deep into other esports, but what I do know in the Rocket League space, there's just not a lot of personality at the professional level. There's just not. And the players that do have personality are mega stars. You know, one that comes to mind is CJ cruising out in the car at Worlds.
Yeah.
That is incredible. Like I love to see these players express themselves a little bit. And that content avenue allows you to get to know more than just the car and the nameplate, right? You get to know the person. You get to know their personality, their character, how they behave. You get to know just what's behind that impressive car and nameplate. You get to know more about them. And so I think, you know, that grows your brand. It grows your audience, your fan base. You know, people want to see you succeed. And I do think that's important too. When you got a lot of people cheering you on, you're probably going to feel better about things.
Yeah.
So to the pros, hey, if you want to do gaming, get on it. Get on it, whether it's YouTube or Twitch or however you want to do it. For me, I got into streaming because I knew, and this it's a different scenario, but I knew I had to diversify. I knew I left my job and I was making enough with Gamers Ready and whatnot that I could do it. And I wanted to go to the next level, hopefully professionally make some money. But I knew that I couldn't only do Gamers Ready. Mm-hmm. And even if I did go to professional coaching, I couldn't only do coaching. Mm-hmm. Some great examples of McLando out there creating content. You're creating this podcast. We got Verge creating some content. Diversify, mm-hmm. right? You have to do more than just one thing. And maybe one day in 20 years from now, you will be able to just be Rocket League coach. But we're mm-hmm. not there yet, right? We're not there yet. So I knew that I had to branch out and I had to do a little more. And I had streamed a little bit in the past. I didn't really stick to it. I never had a schedule. But I like it. I like performing. I've always been a people person. Like I said, I didn't do a lot of gaming. I, you know, when I was a kid, I was a clown. I like to act up and do silly stuff. And so, you know, it doesn't really bother me to be in front of people and broadcast. I know that I know that I'm going to look like a clown. I know that I'm going to be cringe at times. I don't care. I just don't care. And I do think that part of that is probably my age. You know, if I was 17, 18, I may not feel this way. But for me, it was just one of those things. It was a perfect fit. You know, I was doing some coaching. And this is an awesome supplement to that, right? And I'll say this, you know, my stream, a lot of the original people that found me were students that I had coached, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, vice versa, you know, now where my stream has grown a little bit, I'm not a massive streamer by any means, but much larger than when I started. Now some of the streaming funnels to the coaching. And so it's that, again, we flash to the pros. Those things, they will all connect. And they will work together to help you, you know, get to where you want to go.
Yeah.
And you know, in regards to some of the anxiety, some of the, you know, you mentioned like people are going to thrash you. People are going to say negative things. I took an approach that I think a lot of people struggle to take. I do not prioritize having an extra viewer if they are going to be someone that I just don't care to have there. And some may disagree with my approach. Some may say, well, you know, viewers deserve two strikes or three strikes or whatever. No, it ain't happening.
Yep.
If you are going to make me miserable, if you are coming into this and you're breaking rules immediately, the first message, if you walk in and you say, can you shout me out? I just don't have time for it. And if that means one less viewer, hey, if that means two or three that are watching and they don't like what I got, you know, how I'm operating, that's okay. I'm willing to sacrifice a little bit of that numbers to build and cultivate what I want, what the experience that I want to have. And when I'm streaming, I don't want people that are just going to trash talk me. I'm not saying we don't banter. I'm not saying we don't joke, but I don't want that. I want a stream where we can have good discussion. We talk about some pro play. We talk about some esports moves. We talk about the state of Rocket League, some of the things we would like to see improved. We talk about improvement. We talk about approach to the game. We talk about approach to ranked. We talk about some of our shortcomings. We talk about some of our goals. I like discussion. I like, you know, I just like an environment where there's give and take, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to give some of my thoughts, but I want to take some too. I want to hear some of that, you know. I want to, you know, I want to hear some feedback from everybody. And so to cultivate that, I just had to weed out the nonsense, and I was willing to do that. You know, someone that I've become friends with that is doing some streaming, and you know, their numbers are 8 to 20-ish, right? They're kind of newer to it. Something that they even mentioned was, I'm frustrated with some of the people that are there. They make it very, like, if I make a mistake, they call it out. If I do something good, they belittle it, right? They're just negative. And it was even someone that they said was a mod. And I said, and they start talking about, I don't want to ban them. I don't want to like run them off even if I tell them, hey, I don't want you to do that. I want you to cool it a little bit. I don't want to run them off because my numbers drop. And I think that is something that a lot of people can resonate with. You know, we put up with a lot of nonsense at times in hopes that it will help us get to a level where we can eventually get rid of the nonsense. But I think it doesn't work like that. if you allow nonsense, you're just going to get more of it. It's going to snowball. And so, you know, when I had 5, 7, 8 viewers, I did not put up with it. I always had this strict, this is how I want it to be. And if it's not that way, I don't want you here. And that's okay. There are plenty of people on Twitch that will enjoy your jokes. There are plenty of people on Twitch that will enjoy the trolling and everything. You can find a home for your, you know, viewing personality. It's just not here on my stream. So if I can say anything to anyone that is thinking about it or going for it or whatever, first, just stay true to yourself. Stay true to yourself and do prioritize yourself. You know, the thing is, and I always say this, you know, some of the really kind viewers, when they, you know, they got some real life stuff happen and they come back in, oh man, I'm so sorry, I haven't been here for 2 weeks. I say, don't say sorry. Don't say sorry. You don't owe me anything. You don't have to be here. Mm-hmm. You don't owe me anything, but I don't owe you anything, right?
Mm.
This is a relationship where both of us are choosing to do this.
Yeah.
And it's cool like that. As long as we're both respecting one another and everything is good, you know, you've got an environment that you're going to enjoy. And when you create and cultivate that environment, that is, you know, when, so one of the challenges, we met a sub goal and I'm trying to complete this Eversax course.
Mm-hmm.
It is a freaking nightmare. It is so hard. Okay. And
yeah,
I would become furious. I would not be able to handle it if I had a viewer audience that was constantly roasting me, right? Or backseat gaming.
Yeah.
Do this, okay, do that, it. Stop doing. They don't do that. Why do they not do that? Because I've cultivated an environment of people that think like I think, and you know, they maybe not think like I think, but they can respect my boundaries, right? They can respect what I request and what I like. And again, is there banter? Absolutely. Do they joke and make fun of me? Absolutely. But it's also people that have built up that type of, you know, we've been there for a while. We've been, you know, we've gone back and forth in deep discussion. We've gone back and forth in discussion about RLCS or whatever else. And we've kind of built that type of rapport with one another where, hey, I make a goofy backflip or mistake or whatever, and they roast me. And so it works. But you know, like I said, just stay true to yourself. Be honest with yourself, be honest with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another thing that kind of goes back to, you were talking about the ranked anxiety, and I want to make that a little bit broader with the performance anxiety. Mm. Don't expect too much. Don't expect too much. And that's easy to say and difficult to do. But don't expect too much. I think, you know, one thing that I went through was when I started, things went well and I had some very steady, good growth for 6-ish months. And then things started to plateau and I got in my own head. Mm-hmm. I started saying, you know, am I not good enough? Uh-huh. You know, what am I doing wrong? Whatever. Right. And it's just one of those things where it's tough. It is tough. Something that I was excited about leaving education and doing this was the fact that if I perform well, if I do a good job, things do like this. If I perform well as a teacher, you know, that's great, but you don't really get raises and stuff like that. It don't work like that. But in this space, you perform well, you grow, you get a larger audience, you get more money. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that was exciting about this change was, hey, there's some growth aspect to this career where I didn't really have that in the previous one. But on the flip side of that token, if it's not growing, right? If it's not going well, it's tough. It's not easy to brush that to the side and just keep rolling. But we got to. And I think, you know, another thing that we both hit on with some other aspects of this discussion was that frame, right? We all look at Ninja and we think, man, we all look at Shroud or whoever else. Man, I would love to be that. But we didn't see the 12 years that they were grinding with 15, 20, 30 viewers, right? We didn't see all that. We just see this success at the end of the road. And it takes a long time. As with anything in life, you know, if it's worthwhile, it's probably not going to be easy. So you got to frame it that way. And I think something that this is true for ranked, I've said this for players that are frustrated with their rank, we need to stop looking on a day-to-day basis. Evaluate progress in 3 months. Evaluate progress in 6 months. Evaluate progress in a year, right? Give yourself some time. Give yourself some space. we need that time to fail, learn, improve.
Yeah. Right.
So I think streaming is fun. I think it's a lot harder than people realize. And something that I almost mentioned earlier, you're talking about replay analysis. Hey, I do replay analysis on my streams. I go back and watch. You know, you see your body language. You see some of the things that are said or how you carry a conversation. And you learn, right? I think as humans, no matter what we're doing, we reflect on it. You go back and look at how things went. And you can learn and improve and grow. And so, you know, those are some of the things that I've done with my stream and kind of how I've operated with that. And, you know, things have gone really well. And I'm very grateful for everything so far. And super, super excited about the future. We're, you know, I'll say a little bit about this. I'm kind of in a phase now where I'm thinking I want to get into a little bit more commentary, do a little bit more discussion-based streams rather than just, you know, jumping on and playing some Rocket League or playing some viewer tourneys or whatever. So, and they've gone really well. I think it's more engaging for some of the viewers, right? They get to give some of their thoughts and stuff. And so, I'm really excited about some of the things that, I'm looking to do, you know, in the coming few months. So,
yeah, that's awesome, man. Who knows? We might hear you showcasting RCS next season.
I don't know about all that, but
that's awesome, man. I really appreciate that insight and that mindset because there's so much to digest there, and I think that you know everyone listening who is ambivalent. I think ambivalence is the perfect word. Whether someone's on the line, they understand the kind of areas, but they're just not really ready to make the jump. Can really take a lot from that because I think it's important to have a very different mindset towards streaming, whether it's, okay, I'm gonna allow all this stuff to happen. But, you know, at the end of the day, people stream to have fun, right?
That's right.
And if something else is taking away from that fun, then what's the point? Because you've got to start somewhere. And, you know, you're not going to suddenly turn on your stream and have 1,000 viewers. It's like, well, you've got to gradually build yourself up. And, you know, I think that goes for a lot of people who are just, you know, starting to get into streaming. Or even establish themselves a long way. Like you said, with the Ninja, the Shroud example, the Doc example, you know, you can look long-term, but I think it's always staying in the present and just understanding it. Okay, I might have a couple of viewers. That's all right. No worries. Yep. No stress. Right. And just really understanding that kind of developmental mindset instead of just trying to rush to the end and just take the time.
That's right. And I want to build on that because I think you just nailed it, rushing to the end. You know, a lot of these people that do see explosion, I think it's tough. It's tough in many ways. It's tough to handle emotionally. It's tough to maintain, right?
Yep.
And so something that I've actually become very grateful for is the slow, gradual growth. And I think, you know, we've said this a few times, but that's probably the better way to do things in most aspects of life, right? I'm not going to go from out of shape to in shape in a month. It's going to take long. It's going to take a long time, and it's going to take discipline and dedication. It's the same thing in the streaming or professional play. You know, it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, I definitely know that a lot of listeners tune in that are within that kind of early, you know, teen, you know, 14, 15, 16, we're just, you know, really interested in esports, want to be a pro player, want to jump into the deep end. So I think, you know, all those really positive things that you just said, man, really will resonate with a lot of these guys. So, you know, I really appreciate that, man. That was awesome.
Absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity to come here and share the story. I think that's important. And, you know, that's something I say a lot on my stream too is, you know, we're in this day and age where we see a polished, produced, awesome product online, right? We don't ever see the negative. We don't ever see kind of the downside, some of the struggles that some of these huge creators or personalities or celebrities or whatever, we don't see that side of them. So I think it's important to be authentic and kind of, you know, even just have discussions about maybe the not so pretty sides of some of this stuff. So I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on, man. It's been a big pleasure to chat with you and really dig deep into some of these really abstract but also simple elements that a lot of players sometimes overthink, not even think about as well.
Yep.
So I think it's really crucial to do that. And I think that's, you know, the general gist of why I created MyClick is to just help inform, give knowledge to some of these younger guys who are looking to be a pro player, looking to do whatever. Just a little bit of knowledge, and you know, it could be one thing. It could be one clip that they see that all of a sudden, hey, That makes sense. I'm going to do that now. And that could just, you know, one little small thing can kick them off. So I really appreciate you coming on, man. And, you know, for everyone listening, where can we find you on all your socials to keep up to date with you?
You can actually find Hoody Hoo, HoodyHoo on Twitter, on YouTube, on Twitch. I don't know how I got so lucky with no RLs in the name, but just plain Hoody Hoo. So you can find me on all three.
Perfect, man. No worries. I'll make sure to put them in the link below for the episode for everyone listening as well. But man, it was an absolute pleasure to have you on today. It feels like the time flew by. So I really appreciate you jumping on and, you know, sharing the story between your mindset and your backstory and your, I guess, you know, frame for different ideas and different thinking. I really loved it, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Like I said, I appreciate the opportunity. It's a lot of fun to come on here and just chat with you.
No worries, man. Take care and enjoy the rest of your day, man.
All right. We'll catch you later.
Catch up.
Yo, it's Hoody. Hey, let's get those minds clicking.